back, I won't crack on and do it. And in the meantime, I don't know. Do you think people have missed us, Si?
No.
No.
Actually, no. They have.
Yeah. Who?
Right.
Mum and Dad?
No. No, we were at a christening up north the other week, and an old friend of mine from Ormskirk Rugby Club, Manny, big shout out, and your little lad, listened to the show. And he asked me, like, where's the show? Little Matthew listens to it. Well, since we're PG now. And, yeah, he's just had to explain what's going on. So, will I go see what's for tea?
I'll play some stuff.
Play some stuff. And I've got an exclusive announcement.
Welcome back. The team where your ticket out. Welcome back. To that same old place that you laughed about.
Well, the names have all changed since you hung around. And them dreams have remained since you turned around.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
All right, people. This is your mate Stel, host of the great football podcast known as Shoot the Defence. Join me, John, Andy, Mike, Stuffy, and whoever else can be bothered to appear every Thursday night at 10:30 p.m. Mixlr.com/ShootTheDefence. That's 9:30 a.m. Kangaroo time and 6:30 p.m. Statue of Liberty time. We're informative.
It was a success, so the board, you know, the directors, they enjoyed it. Yeah, let's keep it going. You know, we owe him a lot. You know, he's continued that football, he's continued that philosophy, won us a trophy, we're still in Europe. We're relatively safe in the Premier League. But then we got to the stage where the players didn't feel it. Therefore, got to go.
Opinionated.
Any good player that then puts on that blue Chelsea shirt automatically just turns into a wanker.
Sometimes controversial.
Well, if he's a gambling box, maybe you've got some illegal betting thing going on there and you've decided to get yourself sent off by the time.
Very good shout.
Allegedly.
It's all alleged. And have one or two face palm moments.
I have a dream. It's enough for me.
We're on iTunes, Stitcher. Ah, and we have our own website, shootthedefence.com. Shoot the Defence. Play on.
G'day folks, AJ here. When you finish listening to this podcast, head on over to iTunes or Stitcher and check out myself, Lee and Punch on The Bloke Show.
We talk about a whole variety of topics like comics, cartoons, movies, television, and sports.
And we're often joined by guests like Deck from Ireland and other friends from all over this wonderful planet.
Once a month, we jump into the DeLorean and take a look at the history of professional wrestling.
And once a month, we look back at actual history with This Week in Time.
And once a month, we talk about whatever we want to talk about.
So please follow us on Twitter at TBSPOD.
And talk to us on the Facebook group, The Bloke Show.
And I don't give up what you say, just listen to this thing.
Hey, it's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea. Join myself and Dave Mega Powers as we take it from the current to the way back on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio. We're also available on iTunes, Buzzsprout, Stitcher, Audio Boo, and Geek Life Radio. So when you're done with the Bloke Show, head on over to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com and RantEMRadio.com. From the current to the way back, it's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Like the Doc and Marty, I'm a bit weird, and he's awfully farty. It is that time. We are back again. It is Friday night. Change of date. But it is the Scrumcast. You're joined by myself, Symbols McGillicuddy, and to my right with a cup of geek, it's Roberto Di Matteo, Tixie Licks, Dr. Pepper, Jim Ross's Hot Barbecue Sauce, Richmond.
Nobody cares, Bill.
My name's not Bill. So yeah, hello. Well, we are back. It's been, well, we've missed, as what BT Sport would call it, about four rounds of the Aviva Premiership. We've been awfully busy in our personal lives. Rob, would you like to tell the lovely listeners what you've been up to, sir?
I'm so depressed I can't even blink.
Great. So I'm doing a show on my own with a soundboard again.
Nobody
Thanks,
cares, Bill.
It's just... Are you gonna say hello to our listeners?
Oh, yeah!
It's gonna be a douche.
Shut the hell up.
I will make you restart the show.
I'm a scientist. I never apologize for the truth.
It's not funny.
Oh, my God, I'm so excited. I wish I could wet my pants.
What do you think of Ebola?
Oh, you think that's funny, huh? Yeah, that's real funny.
What's your views on ISIS?
Well, you shouldn't be such a smart mouth, Mr. Noah.
Anyway, if you're not going to talk, I'm going to talk.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
I'm not saying anything.
I've got the strangest feeling someone's going to kick his ass.
I think time is had enough of this.
It's been a long day.
It's been a long week.
It's been a long week. I had to dance this afternoon.
Oh, of your own free will and volition.
And my partner wasn't even there.
You had to dance on your own?
Whilst everyone else had their partners.
Did you have like a mannequin?
No, I just had myself. There was certain learning moves, and it looked like I was milking a cow. And then there was bits where I had to dip, and I looked like a teapot. Wow. I'm rotund enough as it is.
If the shoe fits, Symbols, the shoe fits. Yeah, hello everybody.
About time you started talking. It's lonely.
Was it?
How you been, brother? How's your master?
Dun, 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 dun.
Master! Master!
Master of the universe. Yeah, it's going all right.
A lot of the reason we've not been on the air, Robbie's been very busy with his masters, and I'm very busy with my new job. So it's kind of the show.
By new job, you mean
promotion?
Promotion.
Yeah, but it's just we've been awfully busy. And your masters falls on a Wednesday, so we can't do the show on Wednesday. So we might just do it when we can.
Well, I think this is good. Friday night, we've got rugby to watch afterwards, and we've got
exactly. Sam's got home from work. She's in the kitchen, cooking us a spag bol because we're in a new studio.
That's right.
We are in the market town of Melksham, Wiltshire. Yeah. Population 5,000.
Where everybody goes to the game.
Yeah, lots of people. There's about 7 gyms here.
Game? What's a game?
It's that place you go to lift weights.
Oh, a game.
That's it. So, we're just mixing up. Obviously, follow us on Twitter at the Scrumcast, and you'll see a live picture I just tweeted of our new studio. And tonight's show is dedicated to popular American rapper Stitches.
What are you gonna do with it, Si?
What am I gonna do, brother? I'll tell you, mate. In a minute. Oh, now.
When the bass drops.
When the face
drops, you're gonna put a brick in my face.
Brick in your face.
I'll tell you what, Wasp fans feel like they've had a brick in their face.
Say, Wasp fans have had a brick in their face. You could say the makers of the brick were Rico.
Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Well, we're gonna get into that later in the show. We've got lots to catch up on, lots to cover. We're gonna talk about Wasps, we're gonna talk about Curly Bill. We're going to talk about Wayne Barnes. We're going to talk about the free fall of the Leicester Tigers. Yes. And we're going to talk about the
pop culture stuff.
Pop culture stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously the rise and most likely potential fall of Bath Rugby later in the season.
It wouldn't be an episode of the Scrumcast if we didn't mock Bath in some way. even when they're playing really well.
That's the beauty of Bath rugby. The fact they are doing well, I can still find a way to take the mick out of them.
It's not hard. Look at their shirts.
I like their shirts.
They've got Dyson and a random phrase underneath them.
Doesn't it say, like, lick it?
It says, lick it.
Dyson,
one says,
lick it.
One says, wipe your bum. Another one says, I eat poop. And then there's another one which just says, catamaran. What's all that about?
Don't get it.
The Roundup, where we round things up, so you know what we're about.
Okay, here are our scores for the previous week. October the 3rd, in the top 14, Orange League. Is that what it's called, the Orange League?
Yes.
Orange, right, okay. Well, Ognac's 18, Toulon 21.
Bad luck, Ognac.
Hey, doing really well at the moment, aren't they?
No, they're bottom of the league.
Oh, I was thinking about Bengal Babels.
You're thinking of the Bengal Babels.
That's my new NFL.
The new Indian team.
It's my new NFL franchise.
Bengal Babels.
Bengal Babels, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, the Viva Premiership, Bath 21, Saracens 11.
Fine win for the Bath.
Great win for Bath. Can't wait to talk about it later. In the Guinness Pro 12, Vibre 14, Ospreys 15. Ulster 30, Edinburgh 0. Connacht 24, Connacht Blues 24. Then the Rugby Championship, Argentina 21, Australia 17.
Argentina!
Absolutely made up they've got a win. It was very much, it was a lot of people were saying that they were the potential whipping boys of the competition, but no, they've beaten Australia, so that makes me happy. On October the 4th, top 14 Orange, I'm going to have to think of a new comical name for that. Toulouse 22, Stade Francais 10, in the Guinness Pro 12, Leicester 23, Munster 34, in the Orange 14 top, Racing Metro 46, Brive 32, in 14 Oranges at the top, La Rochelle 29, Lyon 8, in Orange 14 top, Castres 51, Grenoble 10, and in 14 top, Orange 14 top, Orange 14 top, Bayonne 15, Montpellier 15, and in the Rugby Championship...
You got that completely wrong, didn't you? Bayonne 10, Montpellier 15.
And in the Rugby Championship, Freedom Cup, South Africa 27, New Zealand 25. And in Viva Premiership, Gloucester Rugby 33, Leicester Tigers 16. Oh, Cockerel, what are you doing? Also, London Irish 12, Northampton 19, Saints making hard work of it, and Harlequins 52, London Welsh 0. And in the FIFA, in the Nigel Farage Championship, Division 2, Bosnia and
Herzegovina
59, Bulgaria 12. And in the Orange Top 14 League, Bordeaux Bagels 51, the Clermont Avengers 21. And in the FIR Championship, Finland 32, Norway 10. And in the FIR Championship, Estonia 59, Belarus 12. Of course, as anyone knows who listens to Scrumcast, we are a massive fan of Tier 3 and Tier 2 countries.
We are equal opportunity rugby supporters.
What he said. October 5th in the Guinness Pro 12, Scarlets 26, Dragons 13. And in Viva Prem, Newcastle Falcons 29, Exeter Chuffs 24, Sale Sharks 25, Wasps 14, and in the Guinness Pro 12, Benetton Treviso 23, Glasgow 40, and those are your scores for the previous week.
Yes, indeed. News. We'll get on the news, or do you want to do a quick assessment of some of those
games? We'll do a quick assessment.
Make an assessment.
We're going to talk about Bath in a bit more detail later on, but another great win. They are, like, there's no denying it, they are firing on cylinders.
Not having a dig at Bath, but
not yet.
You've never won. Nobody's ever won the championship in October. Right? One thing to say.
No.
However, you think that they've got Carl Ferns, they've got Francois Lowe, and they've got Sam Burgess to come into that team.
Indeed, they do. So we'll get into that a bit later on. Saints again, making hard work of it, but a win's a win. I'll take that.
Yes, indeed. Leicester Tigers. Not, well, look, I mean, we're going to talk about times a bit later on, but a good win for Gloucester that seem to be coming together as a side now, which is something that you wouldn't have said, you know, at the start of the season, which obviously would be the case. That's true. That sentence didn't make any sense at all.
Whatsoever. No, but it's like, you know, they spent a lot, you got to think with Gloucester, they have spent a lot of money on something. They brought in, you know, half the Welsh squad. It's going to take some time for players to gel, and it's slowly starting to come together. And it's like, Gloucester will come good around Christmas, I think. I think Gloucester are going to be this year's Sale and make a real, I think, make a real good attempt at it at the end of the season.
We'll see what happens. I'll tell you what was definitely preeminent last weekend at that game was this.
Loud noises!
Gloucester, Castle Grimm,
yes.
King's Home,
yeah.
Is worth 12 points to Gloucester.
That's right.
But that being said, it's the same thing with the Tigers. When the Tigers are at home, it's worth, that crowd is worth 12 points. So
Definitely.
Another disappointing, it's not gone well for London Welsh.
No, it's not. It's been a tough.
They've now played 5 games and shipped over, is it, nearly 50 points in every game.
Yep.
So that's 250 points.
You know, it's that old thing that, you know, these sides come up from the Championship and some are ready. Well, last time London Welsh came up, they were ready. You know, they did put some good performances in. Obviously, it wasn't enough to stay up, but
they would have done if it hadn't been for the thing where they got the points.
That's true.
Otherwise, London Irish would have.
You see teams like Exeter who have been down in the Championship years upon years, and they've come up and they've done so well to stay up. I think there is a certain expectation that teams will do that. It's just one of those. You know, they lost a lot of players at the end of the season, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
And it's just one of those. Really, yeah. You
know, London Irish have been doing very well while we've been away. Obviously, they had a big win against Tigers, and we're going to come back to the Tigers.
We will.
But it is interesting to note that there are what can best be described as a gaggle of former Leicester Tigers Academy boys that are playing week in and week out for London Irish and doing a damn fine job. Mm-hmm. And you have to start wondering, why were they perceived to be not good enough for the Tigers, and yet they've certainly proved themselves at that level for London Irish.
How many players are there in the Premiership that we've heard through, like you hear on the commentary, used to be on the books of Leicester, gone to Pastors New and made something of themselves? Because, as we know, and it's part of the problem with Leicester, Cockerell doesn't trust the kids.
That's right.
He doesn't.
You disgust me. Go on.
It's true, though, isn't it?
It is. Anyway. We're going to talk about that a bit further on. Anyway, yes. Great win for Bath against Saracens. Saracens depleted, particularly in the back line. It's not often that you see Chris Wiles playing at 12. And it did go to show you just how important Brad Barrett is as a line leader.
Yes.
Duncan Taylor had a good game.
He is doing well. But
both of them were outshone by their opposite numbers, Jonathan Joseph and Kyle Eastman. Kyle Eastman today has won the September Player of the Month award.
Hey, you're playing well, and, you're playing well, aren't you?
Yeah, at the moment, you can't see him not playing against the All Blacks on that first weekend.
Hey,
you really
all.
Can't see him not playing.
You know, you got to give him credit where credit's due. He's the polar opposite of the player we saw last season playing in the centres.
That's right.
You
know, he didn't play too bad last season.
No,
he's integrated into the side. He plays so much better with Joseph outside him, and they've got wonderful.
There's chemistry.
Chemistry. As I tweeted the other week, Jonathan Joseph is as close as I've seen to Jeremy Gusker in a long, long time.
He's a hell of a player. His
feet are majestic. Majestic. He's a wonderful player.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful player. Other than that, there have been some players with Saracens that I've been really impressed with, by the way. They brought in Kieran Longbottom from Australia,
mm-hmm.
Who's English qualified. And don't be surprised if he gets a cap real soon. He's been very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the other teams to talk about that have also, it's not just been the Tigers that have been stinking the place up. Quins have not been going well.
No.
Kyle Sinclair's been found out in the front row. They've had a better look at him. Nick Evans is another year older.
Yep.
Easter is still offloading like a good un, but he's not making that many tackles.
I think, personally, with Easter, there's a point where his legs have gone.
Yeah, and I think they've got better on the bench, to be honest. It's funny that they're playing Wallace and Robshaw, and the balance of their back row is not good. There's not a very good balance to it. Not to say that they're not all individually good players. Of course they are. But do they work well as a unit? Not so much.
No.
Not so much.
Should we press on to some newsy
poos? Newsy poos. Well, the big news, as everyone can imagine, is all about Wasps here up north. And then down south is all about Curly Bill. So we're going to start with Wasps and then we're going to go over to Curly. All right, so a Wasps supporter who has initiated a petition against the club's move from High Wycombe to Coventry, said fans have been let down. Wasps, who will start playing games at the Rico Arena from December, say they understand it's a sensitive time and have attempted to address supporters' concern on their website.
And what did they do on their website?
Because they put up a big poster that said, keep calm and carry on.
Oh my days.
No, they didn't. I'm just joking.
Oh, seriously.
They put up posters of your man Haskell guy. Isidore Blood.
It took over my Twitter a little bit when this happened. But the big thing was, is like, we're going to make an announcement. It's okay. Wait till our announcement.
Yeah.
Have they made said announcement?
They have said.
And what did said announcement say?
It said, we're moving to Coventry.
Pretty much.
We're going to talk about it.
Was it just pretty much a jog on?
Anyway, we're going to talk about this a bit further, but just to continue on. Alexander Hayton, who has supported Wasps since 1998 when he was 10 years old. Who did he support for the first 10 years of his life?
Yeah.
The question that I asked.
Richmond.
It feels very much as if the fan base is being abused, he said. Does it?
Really?
Does it?
Really?
Does it?
Really?
Does it?
Really?
Really? That was when you were supposed to say, does it?
Does it?
Really?
Really?
Anyway, Wasps chief executive Nick Eastwood has told angry fans at the decision to the move to Coventry to throw eggs at him rather than vent their anger at the players. While no mass protest is expected ahead of Sunday's Premiership match with Bath, there is likely to be disquiet. The club has said they are prepared for all possibilities as they await the fans' reactions, noting the outrage evident on Twitter, internet forums and blogs has been offset by the lack of complaint made directly to the club. Moving on, we're going to talk about that a little bit further because there is much discussion with that. Curly Bill.
I do want to get into
Curly.
Hot dang!
Or should we say curtly glug glug?
No, we should just say,
I'm just so lonely!
Because he is now.
He's been a naughty boy. He's been a bit of an idiot.
Curtly Beale has been suspended by the Australian Rugby Union following allegations he sent deeply offensive text messages about a team official. He will have the chance to respond at an independent tribunal, which is expected to start early next week. Beale, 25, was already facing ARU disciplinary action after an alleged row with a female official on a plane. But the ARU said this was now a secondary matter, with the text having become their main focus. ARU Chief Executive Bill Pulver said the organisation was looking into Beale's allegedly disturbing... That's not even very well written. Anyway, they're looking into it. Meanwhile, Australia coach Ewan McKenzie denied having an affair with a member of staff as a row over these text messages sent by Curtly Beale took an unexpected twist.
Why?
On Friday.
Did he text her saying ASL? Question mark.
Perhaps so, sir. Perhaps so. A stony-faced McKenzie rejected rumours about his relationship with business manager Di Patson, who was on stress leave following a mid-fight argument with Beale during last week's trip to Argentina. Beale's been suspended, and we wait to hear what goes on. McKenzie said, I've got a professional relationship with her, and I refute these reports. There are people out there that want... There are people out there, and there's some sort of campaign to impugn. That's not the situation. Honestly, Australians literally can't speak.
No, they can.
I've got a professional...
There's a man with a pen in his mouth at the moment.
Oh, God. Anyway, so Curtly Bill's been a wrong end, and There are rumors in the Twitter sphere.
Twitter sphere, you say?
Yes.
There's rumors in the Twitter sphere.
Look, new soundboard. That you've been having it away, allegedly, with Di Patson, whoever the dickens she is. Sad news, Si.
Hmm. Okay, well, I'm not ready to move it on. Just Cody Bill, though, 25 years old. And he's just stupid.
Alcoholic behaviour.
It is. It's what it is. Again, it's all the booze.
I'm afraid this is a guy that's already had a problem with booze and
25 years old.
It has been alleged that he was been drinking on the flight. He'd been drinking on the flight. There was also an issue, side which we obviously while we've been away, where Aaron Cruden, the Kiwi fly half, missed a flight because he'd been on the lash the night before. He was suspended and or dropped, depending on how you look at it. And all you can really say is this.
Yeah, but everybody's a jerk. You, me, this jerk. That's my philosophy.
Ginge in the chat room says, Curtly Beal, Ian Beal, common denominator.
What up, Ginge? How goes it, my friend? I hope everything is well in Stockholm.
I haven't finished it. Look, common denominator, dodgy tash. Have you ever noticed how many senders?
I don't watch EastEnders.
I know you don't, but much like wrestling... every 6 months, Ian Beal is a heel.
And then he's a babyface.
And then he's a babyface. And Phil Mitchell is a heel, and then he's a babyface. Why are you drinking my tea?
I don't know.
You regret that now, don't
I
you?
I have. I've got tea breath. It's like tea bags in my mouth.
There's tea bags in my mouth. Oh, that sounds inappropriate.
The worst episode ever.
Anyway, sad news symbols whilst you're tapping away to Sunday. Yeah.
Go on, tell me the sad news.
I love this. He's on Facebook chat with somebody whilst we're doing the show.
Well, no,
tell him to jog on.
No, it's my dance partner.
Tell her to jog on.
No, we've got new moves to learn.
Ugh.
There's this thing where I have to, like...
You better explain to everybody.
Like a bit where I have to, like, nearly, like, frig myself off. It's a bit weird.
You better explain to everybody what's going on. We have no idea.
I'm taking part in a Strictly Come Dancing competition with staff, with colleagues from work. And yeah, I'm not very good. To the point where they have deliberately stuck me and my partner at the back so we are not seen. It's not good. And then today my partner has been ill and everyone had their partners except me, and it was all moves to do with partners, so I was told to do it by myself. And there were times where I looked like I was milking a cow, and then I was like the little teapot, and then I had to fill the cup.
You are good. You are the best.
I'm not. I'm really not.
I'm awesome, and I'm a miracle.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah, I don't
You're obviously confused and aroused.
Obviously, I don't know. Let's just press on.
I like your style. I find it very erotic.
I'm going to take the soundboard off you. This is my Mac nowadays.
Sad news.
Go on, then.
England's Women's World Cup winners, Sophie Hemmings and Rebecca Essex, have retired from international rugby. The pair helped England win the World Cup for the first time in 20 years, with a 21-9 victory over Canada in August, which we were all very happy and proud about.
Indeed we were.
Hemmings, 34, has earned 71 caps at prop. She felt the time was right for the next generation to take the side forward to 2017. And Essex, 31, a second row and full-time teacher, said, "The summer's win was the best way to end my career. It means five of England's World Cup winners have announced their international retirement after flanker Maggie Alfonsi, second row Joanna McGilchrist and wing Catherine Merchant all ended their careers with England in September."
Aww.
So, best of luck to you girls.
We tip our miniature cowboy hats to you for
yes,
good
indeed.
Service. And well done for winning the World Cup.
More sad news.
Aww.
Sam Burgess will have to have a metal plate inserted in his face after fracturing a cheekbone and eye socket in Australia's NRL Grand Final over the weekend.
I watched some of the highlights of that.
Yeah.
And, like...
To be fair,
he's the man.
Yeah.
Like... In the world, there's only one thing Like, it's just the fact that he literally, like, if he didn't see it, he broke his cheekbone.
In the very first play of the game.
And, it's just, we have to give him a bit of a tribute.
Yeah.
And the only way that I find is a fitting tribute is to play him this song.
He's a man.
That's for you, Sam Burgess.
Anyway, so Burgess, who was injured 6 seconds into the match, was due to arrive at Bath next Monday. He was known to have a fractured cheekbone at the time, but the damage to his eye socket was only revealed after x-rays. So he's going to be out for quite a while. Which other former international and now coach fractured his cheekbone and eye socket in the first 5 minutes of a match and played on and also won, much like Sam Burgess?
Former, is it a rugby league convert?
Rugby league convert.
Cup winner. World Cup winner?
No.
Just general cup winner of cups.
Winner of many cups in rugby league. Winner of European cups and leagues here with... Where's a flat cap?
That bald bloke.
That bald bloke.
Who does defence. It's not Dyer.
Sean Edwards, yeah.
Sean Edwards. Is it Sean Edwards?
Yeah.
Wow, Sean Edwards. You're a man.
Shut up, Wesley.
Shut up. Do you think he's like that in training when he's ever it was with Dyer Young? Shut up, Dyer.
Make it so.
Blitz defence. Make it so.
This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
He does look like Jean-Luc Picard though, doesn't he?
A little bit, but he looks more like Brian Glover.
Yeah, he does.
From Kez. Right, I'll be Bobby Charlton.
I'll be Bobby Charlton then. Right, what other news is out there? We'll go for a break after the news.
Okay.
I need a brew.
You need a brew. Wales hooker Ken Owens hopes to return from injury after a freak neck injury. Start of his long quest for the Rugby World Cup 2015 selection. Owens will be out for 12 weeks after undergoing surgery to repair a prolapsed disc in his neck.
Ow.
An injury he picked up in training in late September. It is the second operation he's had following one in 2011. It's obviously frustrating, but injuries are part and parcel of rugby, he said. It was just a freak injury in the end of a scrummaging session in training. And to be honest, I've had it now. Maybe that's the one way to look at it.
That is one way to look at it, to be fair.
IRB World Rankings sees England replacing Australia in the top three.
And it's always nice to see Wales underneath England because England is the man.
Your full IRB rankings for the 6th of October. Number 1, Kiwis. Number 2, Box. Number 3, Poms. Number 4, Aussies. Number 5, Paddies. Number 6, Tafts. Number 7, Bronx. Number 8, Jocks. Number 9, Samoans, because we don't want to be disrespectful to them.
No.
Number 10, Argentina, who've gone up a bit, and Japan have dropped out to 11. Fiji at 12, Tonga 13. Italy at 14th. Georgia 15th. Romania 16th. Canada 17th. USA 18th. Russia into the top 20 at 19, and you're a gay 20.
And that's it.
No, sir.
There's more.
There's this.
What?
Movement of your people!
It's only October, and we still have Exodus.
We do.
Oh, my days.
Oh, it's dinner time!
Dinner time. Oh, my God. We have... We have two.
Sam's just rocked up with a great big load of
pasta.
Bag of the bowl. Thank you, darling.
We were about to come for a break and come see you.
Anyway, so Exodus.
Tuck in,
your villain. Jersey fullback Tommy Bell has joined Leicester Tigers less than 4 months after moving to the Championship side from Wasps. Bell, 21, had a clause in his contract allowing him to leave if approached by a top-flight club.
That's not a bad call, is it?
That is a good, yeah. Claws. He made an immediate impact for Jersey and was nominated for the Championship Player of the Month in September. We're very sorry to lose Tommy. He's been one of our standout players, said Bill Dempsey, Jersey chairman. I think we knew that it would probably end up returning to the Premiership, although we'd hoped it wouldn't have been this early in the season.
All right.
Well, Leicester Tigers have signed Cardiff Blues second row Lou Reed on a loan deal.
Lou Reed,
who is 27, has 5 caps for Wales and joined the Blues from the Scarlets in May 2012, signing a 2-year extension at the Arms Parking in February. The 6'6" lock would provide Richard Cockerell with cover for the injured trio of Ed Slater, Lewis Deacon and Jeffrey Parling. Tigers are fearful that Deacon may have to retire with a back problem. Right.
Put some cheese on your pasta, bro.
I will have a little bit of cheese on my pasta. This is entirely inappropriate.
This is like, you know, new location. We get fed at this studio. This is quite good, isn't it? And look at this.
Sweet.
Some garlic bread.
No, you can keep that.
You don't like garlic bread?
Garlic bread is one of the main tools of the devil.
Yeah, boy. Should we go for a little break while we have something to eat?
Yeah, I'm just trying to
find...
I'm going to play the music. Okay, Simon's got some music for you. We'll be back in 2 shakes of a lamb tail.
I hope you like Nicki Minaj.
I hope you don't.
A group called the Postmodern Jukebox. You can find them on Spotify and on YouTube. They're very good. Now, Roberto.
Symbols, make a look at it.
As we eat our pasta, we're going to play one more song. I'd like to know, are you all about the bass?
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, bass. Yeah, it's pretty clear.
Oh no! I did a swap!
I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass. I'm great 45. Go ahead and tell my candy bitch to cry.
Sorry.
You look like you've never heard that song before.
I haven't.
That is Meghan Trainor. Meghan Trainor. This is what she looks like, bro, because I didn't play you the video.
Because you know I'm all about oh, look, she's a girl that doesn't look like a really, really... No, yeah, she's...
But she's not a size 2.
She's a normal-sized girl.
Which is great. I like her. She's a positive role model.
Yeah, but I remember somebody else that was like that, and then they turned out to be a complete minge biscuit.
Was that a girl saying, I'm a bad babysitter, but I got my boyfriend in the shower,
no.
Making $6 an hour?
No, it was,
Lindsay Lohan?
No, what was it? She used to go out with him from the Quib.
Kate Nash.
Kate Nash.
From the Quib.
From the Quib.
More than that.
Oh, you went down
with him. We used to know his brother, Chris Jarman.
Did you go to uni with him?
Yeah, I went to uni with the fourth brother of the Cribs. It's called that, Chris Jarman.
Chris Jarman.
Give him a ring, get him on show. He likes rugby.
Yeah, I've had a Snapchat from somebody.
Oh, cool.
And let's see if it's a picture of a penis.
Oh no. You've got one of those Snapchatters?
Well, I just thought, you never
I know. Do, actually. It's TP. Sup, Teeps. Sup, Joe. Hope all's well, guys.
Oh, no. It's some...
What is it?
Some golf clubs. That's disappointing.
Because that's what you need to Snapchat. Golf clubs.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
I know he doesn't listen.
I'm still eating, but we can carry on the show. So apologies. Yeah. Actually, I should stop eating, but...
Yeah,
garlic bread is so divine. I'd like to give a shout-out to Samantha Kern for cooking for us. Thanks, Sam!
Thank you, Sam.
Yes, she's here in the studio.
Anyway.
She doesn't know this yet, but she's coming on in a minute to talk about TV.
Hey, baby.
Shut up, you.
You talking to me?
Yes.
Yeah, and tell your mom to quit calling me.
Anyway, let's have something in the background, shall we?
Okay, so, what else are we going to talk about then?
Well, whilst they moved to Coventry.
Yeah, everyone's upset.
In a stadium, it's cost them £23 million for a stadium, to move into a stadium that costs £116 million, right?
Are they sharing it?
Yes, with Coventry Football Club, Coventry City.
So, have they actually said why they've moved to Coventry?
Yes, they have. I'll explain to you now. Basically, because if they stayed at Wickham, they're losing £3 million a year.
how do they lose £3 million?
Because they can only get 10,000 people in that stadium.
Right, stop there. Curly Bill has got, is this picture of Curly Bill on BBC Sport, if you go to it. Is that the guy, is that the kid from DreamWorks on his arm in a tattoo?
No, it's not.
He's like, I like Shrek so much, I'm going to get a little fishing lead and start a film. He's a big inspiration to me.
Anyway, so yeah, so amongst obnoxious fans that don't understand how the world works, setting up petitions that are going to do absolutely nothing.
They've made the decision, it's happening, doing a petition will not change it. If you want to change it, don't go to the games.
They rarely sell out anyway. They rarely sell out.
What's the capacity?
Capacity at Adams Park is about 10,000, 11,000.
What about the Rico?
23.
They'll never fare.
Doesn't matter, because you've got to remember two things. One, under the Aviva Premiership regulations, they want everybody to have a minimum of 15,000 seats.
That's right.
Right, so they had to make a move sooner or later or do something, right? Mm-hmm. Also, if they want to have European games there, they'll also need a minimum of 15,000 seats.
That's true.
If they get into the later rounds of the European Cup, which, all right, at this moment looks unlikely, but in the long term looks a possibility.
Definitely.
If they've got a stadium with over 22,000 seats, they can have their games at home, right? Which means they don't have to do what Saints have had to do and move to the MK Dons and things like that.
But that won't be longer because Saints are getting their extension, aren't they?
Yeah, but not to that size. Not to that size.
Really?
Yeah.
You think they would?
Well, that's up to them. That's another discussion for another day.
Okay.
Here's the facts. The move to Coventry was, in their own words, one, stay as we are, losing £13 million a year, the outcome is simple. A high risk of going bust. Two, stay where we are but cut the squad budget in half to survive financially. Outcome, very high risk of being relegated. Three, find land in the southeast to develop. Suitable sites are not available and there's a very high degree risk associated with planning consent falling through. The London property market is difficult.
True. Very true.
Buy an existing stadium in London. They are rarely, if ever, available.
Well, they're never going to get the Olympic Stadium, were they?
No, well, they never try. Buy your own stadium, which includes a thriving business and guarantees a long-term future of one of the best playing squads in Europe. That's the option that they've taken. One of the best playing squads in Europe.
Debatable.
Are they talking about Saints? Because they're not talking about Tigers, are they? Anyway, so listen, here's the thing. One, when somebody offers you a stadium that's worth over £100 million for less than £25 million, if you do not take up that offer, then you want your bunks belt. I'm sorry. It's too good an offer to turn down. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why people might be upset, right? But frankly, there's a huge amount of hypocrisy in it because they moved to Wasps, to Wickham. They used to play at Loftus Road throughout the early noughties.
That's right.
So they are a side that can move about. They have moved about. What essentially has happened here in the UK, and I'm sure a lot of our US listeners will understand this perfectly well, is this is the first time, aside from MK Dons moving from Wimbledon to Milton Keynes in football, it's the first time really we've seen a franchise move, right?
It's like the Raiders.
Yeah, going back and forth to Oakland and LA and
the front.
Like the Browns moving to Baltimore. And,
yeah.
Listen, those sort of things happen in America all the time because
it's business.
It's business and not sport. All right. Now, if you are this chap, what's his name, Alexander Hayton, who I'm now going to Google and see if I can find his Twitter so I can abuse him. I'm kidding.
He's not. He hasn't found his Twitter.
He describes himself as small, liberal, centrist, Tory, obsessive.
Oh, you're going to love him then.
That surely can't be him. Oh, no, it is. It is him. Hi, Wasp Rugby. Where can I forward the following so it gets seen by someone on the Wasp board? Here's an idea, Alexander Hayton. Take your petition, which has now got, hang on, let's find out, 7 signatures. No, 2,078 signatures. 2,783 signatures. Nobody takes it seriously until you get 3K, anyway, as you well know, right? 2,783 signatures. Wow, what a massive fan base they must have in Wickham. If that was somebody like Gloucester, Bath, Saints, Tigers...
Bath, there'd be way more than that.
It'd be off the charts. Because you've seen how Bath fans have reacted to what's been going on with the Rec for years and years and years and years and years.
The saga. The thing is, though, think about this way, Mr. Alexander Hayton. Let's say, for example, Wasp did take you seriously, and they decided to go from the Rico back to Wickham. They'd lose money on the deal.
Right.
And then it would probably send the team into
So here's the thing.
No, think about it this way.
Go on.
If Wasp were to go, draw Rico, nah, we're going to stay in Wickham. It's going to cost them more money anyway to obviously bail out the contract, which means they'll have no money for players, for transfers, and the team will go down the pan and we'll see you in National 2.
See, I'm going to call him out, right? Alexander Hayton of politicube.org, by the way. Thought I better give you a plug, considering that's why you're doing this. You're not doing this because you think it's the right thing or an important thing. You're doing this to try and raise your own profile as some sort of bastion leader of the Wasps collective.
And for someone...
And we've seen other people do that at places like Bath. And do you know what? They made themselves look like complete bell ends as well.
If you're such a big Wasp fan, why is it not on your Twitter handle? On your Twitter bio?
Pathetic, Mr. Alexander Hayton.
And that's all the time we're going to give him on the show. Rob angry now.
You've made me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Well, you just wouldn't like me anyway.
No, he gets gassy.
It's funny, this is true.
All right, let's go.
But move on. Long story short, in my opinion, it's a good deal.
Yes.
Long term. And if you can't handle the truth, then, you know, get some cheese for your ears, Mother Hubbards. That's all I can say to you.
It's the way of the game now.
If you can't, that's not... Wasp nearly went under last year. There were rumours about them having to put all of their full-time staff on part-time contracts. There were rumours about them having to coach in the evenings and do stuff like that. And basically be run in the same way as clubs like Bedford and Nottingham.
That's right.
They would have been relegated inside of weeks.
Yeah.
Weeks, if that had happened. If you can't see that this is better for the brand, the franchise, the club, then, you know, you're an A1 nitwit, I'm afraid. Sorry. There's no excuses. What they're afraid of is this, right? Every year, now I know you don't spend a lot of time on the message boards, every year there's some middle class hoity-toity la-di-da crass merchant who comes on one of the boards and goes, I'm never going to a rugby game ever again. I was so disgusted. Somebody said shit. Yeah, I said a swear. Somebody said the S word. Oh my God. I had my children with me. Little Jemima had an asthma attack because she was sat next to somebody kept dropping their H's when they talk like that. What is your game?
He referred to players in their first name. It gave my wife Marjorie a sty.
What they're terrified of is, right? Football's too expensive. Right? Football's too expensive.
Yeah.
Coventry is a hotbed of sport. Coventry's part of the East Midlands Mafia. Like Tigers, like Nottingham, like Northampton. There are rugby fans there that have had a raw deal, and obviously, let's be fair, Coventry haven't had a very good time of it, and they're in League One now.
Yeah.
But they are a sleeping giant. There is a crowd there that will show up. There are people at Nottingham that will probably go and watch them as
well. Yeah, definitely.
See, Wasp are a side that offer things like Groupon discounts, buy one, get one free for their tickets.
Yeah.
Right? So don't start talking to me like you've got some massive clan of supporters, because you don't. Nor the London Irish, nor the London Welsh. Where do London Irish play, Si?
Reading.
Where do London Welsh play?
Oxford. Yeah, you have to go Oxford. I knew where they played. I'm familiar with Oxford. It's next to Stroud.
No, it's not next to Stroud.
It is.
It's next to Slough.
Oh, that's what it says. I thought it was Stroud.
No, wrong again. I got another Snapchat. Talk about Kirkley Beale, go on.
No, I've got to take my plates down or Samantha will beat me.
You can talk about Kirkley Beale for a minute.
Would you like another beverage? Like a juice?
Yeah.
Snack? Oh, look, somebody's got Krispy Kremes, I'm supposed to be jealous. That's
another Wait a minute, that's from Samantha. Hey!
It's from Anna. Hi Anna, hi Pete, we miss you. I'm only joking about the those things anyway. Oh yes please.
Right,
see how incredibly disorganised this show is? That's part of our intrinsic charm. Anyway, we're gonna move on. Kirkley Beale, blown it. Listen, he's done. He's done. Europe, you know, I don't think he'll play in the World Cup. He's blown it. They're not gonna sack. Well, unless they turn out to be true, but there's not even any talk of there being some sort of thing about your man.
Oh, what's he called? I can't think of his pigging name now.
There's no talk thus far of them organising any sort of investigation into McKenzie and what's her face? Dive Patterson, or whatever she's called, right? So he's blown it. They're not going to sack him before the next World Cup. So he might as well get himself on a plane pronto to somewhere in Japan and then start, you know, Toulon, something like this. One of these clubs that just don't care about whether or not you're a good player, a bad influence on the rest of the squad. You know, you'll show up there. Clermont Avengers might have you. I think they're looking for a fullback. Fact of the matter is Mr. Beale has not performed very well for the last 2 years. Obviously, since the Lions tour, we all know about what happened there in the first game where he blew the entire series for his team, and something like this was bound to happen sooner or later. I've been joined by Toby the cat. Hello Toby. So you can't, there's no justification in what Beale did either. He's had more second chances than I've had hot dinners, and I've had a lot of hot dinners. Beale is one of these people that we've talked about here on the show before. There is a culture inside of Australian rugby, football, cricket, Aussie rules, all of it. There is a culture inside of Australian sport that needs to be addressed, needs to change. You cannot be, you know, you cannot be a person who drinks what can best be described as a lot. And judging by current medical terminology, that means 3 pints a night. You can't be one of those people and still be a professional athlete. You certainly can't be somebody who, all right, who's had severe problems with alcoholism in the past, and obviously has a lot of demons. You know, Australian rugby generally is in a state of disrepair. You are going to see a lot of these players coming over to play in Europe and in France and in Japan. It is going to happen over the course of the next couple of years. Now, as a Saints fan, if somebody said we're signing Kirkley Beale, I'd be deeply disappointed. I just think he's a bit of a cancer around the changing room. A bit of a tumour, to be honest with you. And I'm not really sure if a lot of the English clubs would look at him. Maybe somebody in Ireland might look at him. However, he's on about 400k in US dollars. In Australian dollars, 400 grand a year is something like £275,000, I think, something like that. Still a lot of money for a player who you basically can't trust. And I know a lot of people would turn around and go, well, look at James O'Connor. Yeah, Beale finds himself in a very similar situation where he's got no choice but to come up here. Don't be surprised if Beale randomly rocks up at Leicester Tigers sometime after Christmas. Honestly, that's just, I have no idea if that's actually going to happen, but that's just what I think might happen. Because he's, you know, much like his mate O'Connor even, he's just burnt all of his bridges. He is sans bridges. Je ne pars de bridge. That is Mr. Kirkley Beale. Right. Simon, we've got ages, but in the meantime, I want to talk to you about something which came up in the week, which hadn't got a lot of discussion up until now. And that's about one of Northampton State's favourite referees, Wayne Barnes, who's had a bit of a dig who has had a bit of a dig aimed at him by Jonathan Kaplan, the former South African referee. Hang on, that seems really loud to me. It must be really loud to you. Anyway.
I like your style. I find it very erotic.
I'm just so lovely.
Anyway, so former South African referee Jonathan Kaplan has questioned whether television producers helped the Springboks get their match-winning penalty against the All Blacks last weekend. Kaplan is one of the world's most experienced test referees, who hung up his whistle last year and gave four-throat views on a regular update on his website, ratetheref.co.za. Messon's indiscretions were missed by all the match officials, but persistent TV replays on the screens at the ground and subsequent crowd uproar forced the English ref, Wayne Barnes, to go to the TMO for a call.
Right. I'm listening again now.
In the end, the game came down to a decision by the TV producer to highlight a misdemeanour by Liam Messon on Schalkberger.
One minute. The producer called it.
Well, yeah, the producer is... They have a big screen in the stadium. That has a live feed from the TV producer's truck.
That's right.
Okay, with the vision mixer, there'll be the TV producer, there'll be a daytime director, they'll be calling what camera we're cutting to,
yes.
So there'll be a producer in the back saying, put that on. They have the opportunities and, you know, the power to say... To make an executive decision, shall we say? Right? Now, this thing isn't new, because we've seen it before. We, of course, saw it most clearly recently in the Aviva Premiership final.
Yes.
Where it was, again, part of some of the Saracen supporters were a bit miffed that the pass to Owen Farrell that was clearly forward was shown multiple times, yet a pass from Luther Burrell that was forward to George North was not shown multiple times. So this sort of thing is happening. This sort of thing, he has a point. This sort of thing has gone on in the past, and it will very likely continue down the road unless it is handled. Now, when I say handled...
How do you handle it?
They have to come down on them. The RFU, the IRB, all these clubs... The Aviva Premiership, they have to come down on them. I sat down and watched Rugby Tonight with you on Monday.
We did. I'm sure. I'd never watched it before, and I found it highly enjoyable. Mm-hmm. You never told me that it's Bayfield. And like anything to do with Strongman, I will watch anything that has Martin Bayfield on it.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a presenter.
But, and as I spoke to Ben Ireland, our good friend who's studying away abroad.
What up, Ben?
I believe he's in Spain, so hello from Spain, Ben. We do miss you. I hope you're well. I said to him, there is a clear campaign from the TV production unit and from the commentators to undermine every single decision the referees have to make.
Yeah.
Every single decision. Some of it's arbitrary, where you might have Ben Kay and Austin Healy, and Austin Healy will say, I don't think that's a try, just because they want that sort of horrendous Heart FM banter between the two of them. You know, like you listen to, if you're misfortunate enough to listen to radio in the morning here in the UK, generally on the
local
radio. Well, everybody does it. Two presenters, normally one male, one female, and the male presenter will say something arbitrarily sexist, mildly sexist,
yeah,
mildly offending, and then they try and get all these single mums to ring in and get upset and send them text messages.
That's true.
Right? And, you know, it's just trying to cultivate controversy where there isn't any there. Hugo Monier last week went... it was the Sail Sharks
versus Wasps. That's it.
And he immediately went... I can't believe that's a yellow card.
This is from the guy who has been backflipped twice going up for a catch. You know, he knows his things.
He's,
but he did talk about it in great detail, didn't he? About the whole that thing at Sale. It's to the point now where it's just like you just can't touch him in the air.
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm saying to you is, it's the way that they react to it on commentary is the issue. Coming back to the Alex Waller, was it a try, wasn't it a try thing from the Aviva Cup final?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was, because he blew his whistle and said, you may award the try. There are still, unfortunately, still Saracens fans who believe that they've been conned there. And yet, they're not quite with it, shall we say. I say this with all due respect. They're not quite with it enough to realise that in the semi-final and the quarter-final of the European Cup, they both had arbitrary decisions made that went in their favour that won them the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Clermont Avengers had a player sent off and a penalty try given, a yellow card given, and a penalty try given for what can best be described as a 50-50.
Yeah.
By you know who.
Well, put it this way. What you're complaining about with the commentary and the production on Special BT Sport is they've done their job by you talking about it. Austin Healey, Chris.
Wouldn't say that they've done their job because I'm talking about it. Before you go any further, I want to make this categorically clear. I understand how it works because I study it. A lot of people don't. It's took a lot of people to cotton on for me saying there's something a bit funny with BT Sport for a while, and now people are beginning to cotton on to what they're doing. This is as bad, if not worse, than what Sky do. And people are starting to see that BT have now got what we call a script. You know, they talk up specific players all the time. Here's one for you. Last Friday night, Bath versus Sale. I think I've sold Sarries even. How many times did they cut away to Bruce Craig in an 80-minute game?
Enough that, for example, Dylan Hartley pointed it out on Twitter. A hell of a lot.
15 times they cut away to not the coach.
Bruce Craig.
The owner. They cut away to the owner. How many times have you seen them cut away to why? Keith Barwell?
You know why?
You know?
He's Batman.
Oh, yeah, he's
Bruce
Batman.
Craig's Batman. That's why. Someone's BT Sport are onto him. BT Sport are onto him.
What I'm saying to you is BT Sport came into like a whirlwind with an opportunity to show rugby at its best. And I think they're reneging on the deal a little bit here.
Yeah.
And it's sensationalist. It's not, I'm not saying it's not appropriate, but it's certainly along the lines of the worst possible taste with reference to reality television. No, not for me. And it's reached a point now where if I'm watching the game at home, I'll have Spotify on the background. It's got as bad as Sky for me already, you know, with people like Stuart Barnes and the squealy bloke that has an orgasm whenever Leinster score a try.
Oh, he does my head in.
When he reaches climax on telly, that's very, very unpleasant to listen to.
And we talk about Tigers.
I'm going to let you start this one, bud. Because now be careful. And remember the word allegedly.
I'd rather talk about that. I forgot what I was going to say about Tigers.
Go on then, have one.
Right. Bath rugby. First of all, while Robbie is actually away, a few quick little shout outs. Check out. Oh, I can't find it on the Twitter. 1 minute. No, wrong password. I'm having a bit of a nightmare. See how I cannot handle this show on my own. It's very hard. Right. Our good pals at Shoot the Fence, check them out every week on Mixlr. Are currently in a competition for the FBAs. So if you follow Shoot the Fence on Twitter, at Shoot the Fence, you'll see copious links and retweets where you can go vote for them for best best podcast and football blog. So help the guys out if you listen to them as well as you listen to this show. And also check them out, give them a listen. Find them on, they're obviously at the start of the show, in our adverts. You can follow them on Twitter, at Shoot the Fence. You can join their group, just search Shoot the Defence on Facebook. They're available on iTunes, Stitcher, and they have their own website, at shootthedefence.com. Excuse me, right now. God, it's been a long day. Bath rugby. I happen to work with a lot of Bath supporters, and there's nothing better than like, I just for my own joy, my own pleasure, I can just say simple things and wind them up. For example, when Saints played Bath the other week, I pretty much called what was going to happen, and it did. They didn't like that. And when I made reference to, on Facebook, spelling the wreck with a W. Just fun things like that. Now, credit where credit's due, Bath have been playing brilliantly lately. It is really starting to click. The question I'm going to pose for Rob when he's back is, as well as Bath playing, they've got a great starting lineup. Have they got the strength and depth to become champions? I think, put on Rob's back now, I think Bath have a starting 15 that could win them the league. However, I don't think they have a squad
that could win
them the league. Now, I'm gonna comparison with Saints.
Okay.
When we lose half our squad to England in the autumns and in the Six Nations, our guys that are sort of, you know, second string, step up and do a job. I don't think Bath have the strength and depth, and it doesn't appear to me that they have an apparent squad rotation system that will keep some of their key players healthy enough for the full season.
I'd agree with that. I mean, there are places where if they lose a player, they're going to struggle.
At this moment in time,
to be fair, though,
losing, we've got the Autumn Internationals coming up. If they lose, you guarantee Ford's going to get called up, Easton's going to get called up, Joseph's going to get called up.
They're going to lose your big man up front as well. Both the big props
Rob Webber's going to go. Rob Webber's definitely going. That's the key players.
What's he called in the second row? Not the skipper, the other one.
Oh. Name escapes me. Well, there's a good if you know who it means.
Ashwood, something like that.
Doesn't matter. But they're going to lose a lot of players. Have they got the strength and depth, especially at 10 and in the centres? Who have they got? Gavin Ensign?
No. Well, they've got Ollie Devoto. Hopefully they'll have Ben Williams. Ben Williams is a good player.
He's pretty tidy.
And they've got the great big Jerson monster, Banana Man. Although, to be fair, I certainly think he's better, his legs are gone.
But it's just, this is my point, and everyone's getting on the high horses about Bath. There's no doubt, they're playing some fantastic rugby. But I don't think they're going to sustain this for the rest of the season. I think at the end of the season, they came good. I just think they've shot their load too early in the season.
Load.
But,
I know
it's a common thing on this show that we bash Bath a lot. But when Bath do well, we're not trying to bash Bath. We're giving credit where credit's due. They're playing fantastic. I'm just highlighting some of the things I've read on the Twitter book, and a lot of Bath fans are like acting like they've won the league already, and it's only October. And you've got to bear in mind with Bath that I just don't think they like I said at the start of this, they've got a starting 15 that could win them the league.
Yeah, but
they don't have a squad that's going to win them the league. You know, it's those times in the internationals where those wins start to add up to solidify, especially around February time in the Six Nations, to solidify your place at the top for the playoffs. You know?
I mean, as we said before, I mean they've got Carl Ferns, Francois Lowe, who's a massive player for them, and they've got Sam Burgess to bring into the team / integrate into the team. Mm-hmm. But there have been players that have done very well for them. Guy Mercer has been absolutely outstanding for them. Absolutely outstanding. Rob Webber has been superb. Who else has played well? Chris Cook's done very well at scrum half for them. They're not going to go the entire season without injuries. We know that. And sooner or later, they are going to add up. Atwood is the guy that I'm talking about. I couldn't think of his name. Atwood. Sorry about that, Mr. Atwood.
That's all right,
I apologise.
It's all right. He's all right with it.
I'm sure he's all right with it.
He says so. Big shout out to Carl Ferns, who follows us on the old Twitter.
Well, go on with your bad self, Carl Ferns.
Sorry for bashing back, but, you know, quite frankly, it should be you that's in this
let's
spot.
Let's be fair. Well, he can't be while he's injured, is he?
I know, but he is.
When he gets back, I'm sure he'll be
back. It's funny how my favourite rugby player is actually he plays for Bath.
Speaking, before we go to the Tigers, and just on a bit of the Saints tip, looks like Callum Clark's going to be involved with the England squad, which obviously Tigers are going to love after he broke Rob Hawkins' arm.
with the Kimura
lock.
Like Callum Clark will put another player in a Kimura lock in a run.
Yeah. The best thing is, he's literally, the ref was as close to him as you and I were, and he didn't get sent off, and he got a 32-week ban. But it looks like he's going to be in the England squad when it's announced.
This is a great camp card. A bit long overdue, I think.
He's been in and around it for a while. Anyway,
yeah.
Tigers, so.
Rawr. That's the sound of a wounded tiger.
Not looking good for them, mate, at the moment. The thing that concerns me is this. Last year, they had lots of bad injuries. And they played players into the ground. And this year they've got a lot of injuries and they look like they're going to play players into the ground. Now, again, comparisons with teams like Saracens, comparisons with teams like Saints, comparisons with teams like Quins. They've identified that these things are potentially going to happen. I've found a way to get their younger squad players experience, time,
that's right,
opportunity, and Tigers haven't. Now, the best example I can give you... is Fraser Balmain. Now, Fraser Balmain's a good young tight end prop. Last year, they had Areza injured, and they played Mulapola at loose head.
That's right.
They still had Youngs at hooker. But it wasn't Youngs. It was...
Olds. Sorry, can't resist.
Lumberclark. But it wasn't a young kid. It was an experienced player whose name escaped.
That's right.
French guy?
I think so.
Now they've got Girardini, right?
Yeah.
But they never gave, they never trusted Balmain with 20 minutes at the end of the game, particularly in games where they had them won. And there were opportunities where they could have done that. And
why
they didn't. And
but why?
Because, in my opinion, Cockerell does not trust, /like/respect, delete as appropriate, /whatever. The academy boys. There is some sort of thing with him and academy boys from inside the club that generally he doesn't seem to like. Now, someone's going to turn around and go, yeah, but that's a load of poppins, because look at like the Youngs brothers, look at Dan Cole. Most of those players were given opportunities when they had no other option. Much like the famous Gloucester side under Dean Ryan that had loads of young players coming for it. Ryan Lamb, Anthony Allen, people like this.
Because he had no other choice.
He played them because he had nobody else. He didn't play them because he trusted them and could see they were good players. He played them because he had nobody else. He is a dinosaur. In my opinion, Cockerell is a dinosaur. And without O'Connor there, now that he's gone to Leinster, he's struggling. He is struggling. I don't care what anybody says, he is struggling. If you had a serious issue last year where you had an awful, awful lot of injuries... and then seemingly did nothing to change that to try and prevent a huge amount of injuries again the next season, right? That's negligence.
Mm-hmm.
That's negligence. So
It's just bad management.
It's just really bad management. And I know they've brought players in, and it's curious how they brought a lot of players in on the cheap. A lot of Italian guys who are good players, but they're not going to be expensive.
They're going to be your squad players.
You know?
You know, but then it's something we've talked about a lot before. It's a common perception that they train for contact.
Yeah,
and there is by the sounds of things to me, like we know, like we think back to the semi-finals of the Premiership last season, and especially towards the end of the season, just look at how many Leicester players
into the ground.
Just I know it's a common thing that we see players with a bit of strapping on here and there, but. There were Tiger players that looked like the Michelin man that were being held together with tape.
Well,
and at the start of this season,
yeah.
we've seen there's still lesser players that are literally being held together with tape.
I'm going to give you an example, right?
Got him.
And this is a guy who is probably going to be back in the England squad. And if he is, fair play to him, because he has worked hard and he deserves it.
Go on.
Time round. Thomas the Tank Engine, Thomas Waldron at the Tigers, yes, looked almost as big as me, looked seriously overweight for a number 8.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like he had a bit of a weight problem, didn't do much in defence as well, wasn't exactly the most work rate guy you've ever seen. He's gone down to Exeter, new club, new start, new attitude. He's obviously dropped a stone, at least a stone,
mm-hmm,
and he looks a hell of a lot better player for it.
Yeah.
And he's been absolutely superb for Exeter.
Exactly.
Superb. And yet, when you compare and contrast with somebody like Jordan Crane, who's been at the Tigers his entire career, got half an hour for England against Australia and was took off at half time.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was already in negative yardage. All right, he's been a stalwart at Tigers, and I'm sure he's a lovely guy, right? But you, and this is something that I've discussed previously online as well, you can't tell me he wouldn't be a better player if he was a stone lighter. Billy Vunipola, Ben Morgan, you can't tell me that any of the four England, these are four England number eights, wouldn't be better if they were a stone lighter. And Thomas Warden's proof of that, because that's what he's done, and that's why he's very likely going to be back in the England squad.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So that's just one example of the thing, of the many things that concern me at the Tigers. There is, you know, when Cocker is already using gallows humour and talking about things like that, you know there's something rotten in Denmark.
That's right.
Okay. There's also a thing you'll remember, Si, a couple of weeks ago, where England's management team signed new 6-year deals to take them up to the 2019 World Cup.
Not a bad contract.
Now, they'll have a review after the World Cup. So a lot of people that have been gesticulating and saying, this is a disgrace, they know their jobs are safe, all that sort of stuff. Their jobs are not safe. There will be clauses inside those contracts. They will have a review post-World Cup. If that review goes badly, their jobs are on the line.
That's right. However,
the RFU have given them those contracts because they are terrified of Quins and Tigers coming in and poaching Farrell and Wiggy Roundtree,
yes,
anytime within the next year. There is something wrong at the Tigers, something seriously wrong. New broom might be the answer.
I think, yeah, fresh lick of paint at the Tigers is what they need.
There are also a big group of senior players who are coming up to retirement age there, and much like when Cocker's got the job after Dino went, don't be surprised if somebody stabs him in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be surprised if that happens. Because it certainly wouldn't be the first time that's happened. It's
been done before. Do it again.
Yeah.
That's all our rugby news for tonight.
Yeah.
Pretty much. We're gonna do a little quick bit of pop culture roundup. And then I think we're going to watch Tigers versus Quins.
Mm.
Now you can go back to just being you instead of a one-dimensional character with a silly catchphrase. Hi, Caramba.
Hi, Leo.
I do kid, you will know it by my use of the word bazinga.
Bang! Shoot!
James, don't you dare go into that closet! What's he gonna do, Mama?
Get his pool cue. Dynamite!
So you're saying the two of you are going to be sleeping in the same bed?
Yes.
Bazinga.
Mr. Fontarelli?
Hey!
Hey. Wow, that is really hard.
Oh my god, this goes on really forever!
Yeah, but let's just play the music.
Well, you always love me satisfied to my life.
God alive. That's what she said.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Matt,
Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright.
It's gonna be legend. Wait for it. And I hope you're not lactose intolerant, because the second half of that word is dairy.
What's up, Peter?
Okay, that intro is probably going to need to be cut down a little bit, because we're over Guardians of the Galaxy fever. Now it's gone, it was amazing. But it's time for the part of the show where we talk about all things television, movies, comics, and wrestling.
And wrestling.
Wrestling.
Well, if I may start this week.
Go on, Ed.
It is the first episode of a new series on the CW, which will be coming to E4, I think. I think it's going to be on E4, or it might be on Channel 5. Of The Flash.
What's it like?
It's really, really good.
How good is it?
It's very, very good.
How fast is it?
Very, very fast.
What happens it?
A guy gets to be very, very fast with his magical powers.
Are there any main protagonists in this effort?
Yes.
Like who?
Magic Windy Bollocky Man.
Who is Windy Bollocky Man?
He's evil.
Why is he evil?
Because
what is his motivation?
He wants to take over the world.
Do you see any potential character development within this?
Yes.
And how so?
Because it's opening up the DC superhero universe. And
how many
in this
universe? How many constellations are there?
They're bringing Arrow in alongside it.
How many constellations are there in this universe?
12 kajillions.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
So anyway, listen. That was my Flash impression.
Flash was really, really good. It's definitely worth your time. The other show as well that I'm sure our friends in America are already watching, and it's coming to UK TV next week, Gotham.
Watched the first episode, loved it.
Great show.
I'm waiting for it to come, because I don't really have time to be like streaming. I'm just going to wait till it comes on UK and make time for it. It's going to be on Channel 5. Watch it. It's good. It's got Ryan from the OC in it, playing a very young Chief Gordon. Batman is in it.
But he's just a bad guy.
But he's 11.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's wonderfully put together. The way they've made it look like, you know, they've brought Gotham to life for the small screen. It looks brilliant. Definitely check out Gotham.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Indeed.
Absolutely awesome. The other thing that's here in the UK, the second series of the Peaky Blinders.
If
you're in the US and you're listening, or you're listening abroad and you've got access to Netflix,
Season 1.
Get on it. Cillian Murphy in Peaky Blinders. Absolutely superb television series about bookmaking gangs post-World War I. You might need subtitles because of the accents if you're abroad, but it's good.
It is really good.
It's really, really, really good.
And in the second season, Mr. Hardy is in it.
Tom Hardy's in it, yeah. Now, sorry, quickly, you've gone off Downton Abbey.
I have. I really used to, last summer, I watched all three seasons. I binge-watched the three seasons and ready for season 4, and I was loving it. And then I watched this season start, and it was just like, meh. It's really gone off the boil. I think, where they had it at wartime, it just, I don't know, I just...
You can't put it into words, but you know.
I can't put it into words, I've just gone off it. It's just a bit like, it's quite similar. And it's just like, where's this going now? Where is it going? Are you still watching it?
Nobody cares, Bill.
No one cares, Bill.
Oh, kids and their crazy dreams.
Yeah. Where is it going?
Why is she still talking?
We don't know. God knows. Probably going into the 50s. And then last thing on the pop culture front, Gone Girl. I went to see Gone Girl on Sunday night.
What's the story?
The new David Fincher movie.
Ah, is this the one where it's set on the moon? Or no, that's Nolan's new film.
That's Interstellar.
I want to see that.
November the 7th. Yeah, I think we all do. It's a Christopher Nolan film. Gone Girl is a new David Fincher film with Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike in it. And it's really, 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 really good.
What's good about it?
The extraordinary twist. I can't tell you.
We know there's a twist coming. I'll be sitting there for like 90 minutes going, nah. 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 Yeah. Nah. Oh, I need the toilet. And then I'll come back from the toilet and be like, oh, man.
Might not,
so, you've spoiled it. I'm angry at you now. You've spoiled it, the film. You took it and you scratched it.
Scratch! Spoiler!
You took the film, you saw it before me, and you spoiled it.
Spoils. You picked it up in broad daylight and you spoiled it. Without even telling you, you just told me that something happens in it. Like all films, something happened in it. I can't believe you said that.
I can't believe you said that.
Anyway, right, so next week, predictions for tonight's game. First side,
Gloucester.
Well, what else? <I'm>
sorry. I've got Twitter up, and there's BT Sport, and it was a red background. I just assumed they were at Gloucester.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Quinns. Quinns get born out of that.
I'm just gonna go for Tigers, but hey, it's gonna be 50-50. It's gonna be like us scoring it. What other big games have we got this weekend? You got Saints versus Sale tomorrow. You got Saracens Gloucester.
Who'd you fancy Saints Sale?
Saints.
Yeah.
Saracens to do Gloucester.
No.
Gloucester
coming good.
Shut the front door.
Gloucester coming good.
Exeter Chiefs versus London Pidish.
Pidish.
Chaps all day. London Welsh versus Newcastle Falcons.
London Welsh going to get their first win of the season.
No chance.
I'm an optimist.
You're a muppet. And then Sunday's big game, Wasp versus Bath.
That's going to be a hell of a game.
There are always good games at Adams Park between Bath and Wasps. I wonder if that would be the case when they're at the Rico Arena. Probably.
I think it's going to Rico... of a good game.
Rico Suave. I'm going back as well.
Yeah.
Because I don't really like
that's pretty much it. And that's pretty much it from you. Yeah. Again.
Big shout out to our friends, Shooting Defense. They've moved to Tuesdays.
Oh, they're on Tuesdays.
They're on Tuesdays.
Yeah. I always listen to them on the download. So
they're not doing mixer shows anymore. Because they've been interviewing so many big guests.
They have.
Like Gabriel Valcotti, who was good for the Times, David Tarrant. They had Tony Evans from the Times as well. They've had some really good
guys.
And now, of course,
really
they've
well.
Introduced Leon Knight, the former
to the show,
the former footballer who does his night vision part of the show, where he says blood and fam and ting a lot.
That's all right. No, the guys. No,
he was clowning Rio Ferdinand.
Brilliant.
This week, and it was hilarious because he was spot on.
Definitely check out Shoot the Fence, guys. Show's doing really well at the moment.
Yep.
Deserve a lot of love. You know, just keep all the good things, guys.
Our good friends at the Bloke Show. Our good friends at Turnbuckle Throwbacks, which has become the first thing that I listen to on my long drive to university on a Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling Soup, our friends at Wrestling Soup,
right.
Who have been giving it the big un over this bad boy, who will play again in the background.
We'll play it as our end of music.
Stitches.
I got really excited at the start of the show when Rob said Stitches follows on Twitter. I then discovered that it was a false account, even though tweeting about it. So since, embarrassingly, deleting my tweet, I feel a bit stupid now. That a fake Stitches account follows us on Twitter.
No. Cat being mental. Right.
Yeah, so, check out Stitches. He's funny.
You might like him.
Follow him on Instagram especially. Funny stuff.
So we're going to be back again next Friday night.
Hopefully.
Probably. But hit us up on the Twitter, at the Scrumcast, at @Symbols_, at Robbie Richmond. Like the Facebook page if you want, not that we post much on there other than this download. And we should be back again next week for more of our spectacularly obstinate stuff with like rugby related shenanigans happening in the midst of it, I suppose. Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah. What you said.
One last thing before I forget. Congratulations to one of the Scrumcast alumni, Christopher Argyle Erskwith Elizabeth Wall, on becoming two-time British Mustachio Championi. So congrats to Chris.
Well done, buddy.
He's trying to convince me to do one. There's a competition in April. He wants me to go in for my big beard.
It is good.
And I've decided that if I do, I'm going to go as Brian Blessed's character from Flash.
Oh, yeah.
Voltan.
I love this. I think you should. I tried growing a beard in September. It was just a patchy mess.
I think it would look quite good with a pair of wings. Over the homing beam!
That would be hilarious.
Elmond! So anyway, that's it from us. We'll see you again next week. And hit me up on the Twitter if you think I should enter a competition to make a plank of myself dressed as Brian Blessed from Flash Gordon. Alright? Do it! Hey, yo, hey, do it.
Thanks for listening to the show. We'll be back again next week for more fun and bliss volunteers. So don't take any of this. We're only having a laugh at peace, right? The Scrumcast is a Band Brothers production. You don't know who Dan is. Why are you doing here? Hello!
Funny story, I forgot to say on the show.
We'll save it now.
I, sixth form lesson the other week, teach them how to do Harvard referencing. So I put a few web links on the board to teach them how to Harvard reference websites. One of them was a link to BBC Sport, an old article of old brother of ours. And one student went, "Oh my God, sir, this article, this guy's got the same last name as you. And he looks a little bit like you." I went, "Funny that, isn't it?" He's like, "Yeah." And then everyone else in class was like, "What?" And then they went quiet for a bit as they were doing the work. And he was like, "Seriously, sir? Did you know about this? That there's someone else who looks like you who's called Richmond?" And everyone was very quiet. I went, "No, mate. No idea. I just found a few, I just literally like, just put a few random URLs in there and see what happens." He was like, "It's uncanny though, sir. He looks so much like you." And then one of the lads just went, "You're an idiot." Like that. Bless him.
Speaking of idiots that we love, we just give a shout out to Chrissy, so let's give a shout out to our good friend Pete, another Scrumcast alumni, and his lovely girlfriend, Anna, who are expecting their first child, and he's going to be called Cody Wynn Ligo. So good luck to Anna and Pete. We're fully behind you, and we can't wait to meet little Cody. So, that would be nice, wouldn't it? What a nice thing for me to say at the end of the show.
Yeah.
I thought it was nice.
It was very nice.
Right, we're out, because the game's about to start. Later!
Peace!